So, just a kind of quick recap. We've been going through Hebrews, and a couple weeks ago, Tom was talking, and we got into talking about Abraham and his faithfulness. We're going through Hebrews 11, talking about the Hall of Faith. And so Tom was talking about Abraham and how God had called him out of his home and to leave everything that he knew his whole life. He was, in his 70s at that point, and so he was, well established. And so we looked at it, and God called him out to take a step of faith and leave all that behind, and he gave him a promise that he said that he was going to make him a great nation. And so Tom talked about how he went out and he was following God, and God said, go here and go here. And he kept following the leading of God. And God showed him a place that was going to be his, but he said, not now. It's not going to be for you to take. It's going to be for your next generations down from you to take. And he talked about how as he walked this calling that God has called him out to, that as Abraham walked, he walked in faith, knowing that everything that God had promised him wasn't for this world. It was for what was future to come. And Tom talked about how just like Abraham, we're called to give up all of the things of this world and know and live that we're aliens and visitors of this world, and this is not our permanent home. And so we looked at his life, and as he walked, followed God's leading, how he stood strong in his faith on several occasions, but then there was times when he failed, when he went to Egypt and pretty much told the king there that his wife was his sister, so that they wouldn't kill him and take her. And so you see these points in his life where his faith kind of wavers, but he still, throughout all of that, walks faithfully with God and knowing that what he was promised is going to come to fruition. So this week, I want to look at the next verses in chapter 11. And we look at verses 17 through 19. And we see that the next mention of Abraham and his faith, we see where God calls Abraham to an ultimate test. Before, it doesn't mention anything about tests until he gets to this point. And it says that God tested him in his faith. And we see that picking up in chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. It's only three small verses, but in these verses, there's so much that we can get from this and the faithfulness of Abraham and what we're called to walk in our faith. So let's just come together and pray for the reading of his word today, Lord. Lord, as we prepare to look at your words that you've given us, Lord, open our hearts, Lord, to hear the truth. And Lord, just remind us of the faithfulness that you've called us to, just as Abraham walked in faith, Lord, and through the test that he endured, Lord, just give us the strength and the endurance, just as Abraham had to walk out in faith, Lord. And go before the reading of your word and let it be your word spoken, Lord. Amen. So if we look at verses 17 through 19, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And so here the writer in Hebrews is referring back to Genesis 22, when Abraham's wife finally gives birth to the promised son, Isaac. And we see here that after all this time waiting for that promise, just to turn around and have God require him to give Isaac back. And we see that if we look in Genesis 22, 1 through 14, we'll look at the account that the author in Hebrews was referring to. It says, "Sometime after these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham, here I am.' Abraham replied, 'God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him up there as a burnt offering, one of the mountains which I will indicate to you.' Early in the morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took two of his young servants with him, along with his son Isaac. When he had cut the wood for the burnt offering, he started out for the place God had spoken to him about. On the third day, Abraham caught sight of the place in the distance. So he said to his servants, 'You two stay here with the donkey while the boy and I go up there. We will worship and then return to you.' Abraham took the wood from the burnt offering and put it on his son Isaac. Then he took the fire and the knife in his hand, and the two of them walked together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, 'My father, why is it my son?' He replied, 'Here is the fire and the wood,' Isaac said, 'but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' Abraham replied to the two of them, continued on together. When they came to the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar where they arranged the wood on it. Next, he tied up his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife, and prepared to slaughter his son. But the Lord's angel called to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham, here I am,' he answered. 'Do not harm the boy,' the angel said. 'Do not do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, because you did not withhold your son, your only son.' Abraham looked up and saw behind him a ram caught in the bushes by its horns. So he went over and got the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord provides.' It is said, 'To this day, in the mountain of the Lord, the provision will be made.'" So we look at that, and then going back to Hebrews 11:17, it talked about that he was tested to offer up Isaac. And we see that the testing here is God giving him a situation that is going to strengthen him in his being obedient. And we see that God, not only before the things that Abraham was called to give up were minor things, they were wealth, they were property, but here he was required to give up the greatest thing that he had, his son. And if you look at it, Abraham waited 90 years, 100 years to have a son. And finally God provided that son for him. And back in the day, that son was a huge deal, because it was the son who got the inheritance of the father. It was that son that acquired everything from his father. And without his son, his inheritance, that promise would have been passed, that inheritance would have been passed on to someone else. So it was incredibly hard. And not only that inheritance, but ultimately that promise that God made to him, that it was through his son Isaac, that it was Isaac that promise of that great nation was through. And without Isaac, he would not have that promise. And if you look at Genesis 21:12, it says, this is where it talks about God giving Isaac being the promised a descendant. It says, "But God said to Abraham, 'Do not be upset, the boy or your slave wife. Do all that Sarah is telling you, because through Isaac your descendants will be counted.'" So here, Abraham leaves his country, goes out, and all of a sudden that promised son is about to be taken away from him. I can only imagine the conversation he had with God when God gave him that. You know, I don't know what I would say. There'd be a lot of, but are you sure? Are you sure? But it says that he went out in faith. And so I couldn't even start to imagine what Abraham was going through in his mind when God asked him that. And it seems to be this extreme request that we couldn't even understand. But I was reading this commentary by Bob Deffenbaugh, and he sums up that request really well. He says, "Several factors must be considered to understand the test in proper light. First of all, we must admit a strong bias in the matter. We who are parents are repulsed by the thought of sacrificing our children upon an altar. We thus project our abhorrence upon God and suppose that he could never consider such a thing either. Secondly, we view this command from the vantage point of the culture of the day, which did practice child sacrifice. If the pagans did it and God condemned it, their practices, it must be wrong in any context." And, you know, I was sitting there, and just this last week, sitting in the hospital with my daughter, I was reading this and I was looking at her and I'm like, how could I give up one of my kids? I can't imagine it. And so he goes on to say, "We are forced to the conclusion that the sacrifice of Isaac could not have been wrong, whether only attempted or accomplished, because God is incapable of evil. But much more than that, it is not could not be wrong to sacrifice an only son, because God actually sacrificed his only begotten son for us." So when we look at it, what was required of Abraham? God requires things of us, and it's so easy for us as we go through. God might be requiring us to give up something simple, and it's so easy in the minor things, like give up TV or give up something that's distracting us from him. But when it is something that we hold dear to, how much harder is it to give that up if God requires that of us? So it is easy to be faithful to God in the simple and not so difficult things, but when God is testing us with what seems impossible to walk through and we really put our full trust in God. We see this in Psalms 26:1-3. David says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have integrity, and I trust in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and test me. Evaluate my inner thoughts and motives, for I am ever aware of your faithfulness, and your loyalty continually motivates me." So So we see that in Abraham, everything that he did was motivated by his faith in God and what God was calling to him. He knew without a doubt that whatever God said would be true. And if we look at verse 19, it says, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So here we see that Abraham weighed what had got the provisions God had provided for before. And we see in that word considers, it's actually in the Greek, it's legitizomeia. Say that twice fast. But it means to reckon or count and to take into account, to make an account, and to pass to one's account. So he weighed the history of God. It's like if I was to, go up to Tom and say, here's $100, and the next week, here's $100. And then one day I say, I'm going to give you $1 million. And, it's only a monetary thing, but if I prove myself faithful in what I say, when I tell him that I'm going to give him this ridiculous amount of money, that he can be pretty confident in what I say is I can follow through with. So we see that in verse 19, that Abraham took into account everything that God had told him before. And so he was able to press onward in faith and take that step and know that even if it was required of him to sacrifice his son, that through God, he could raise him from the dead. He has the power over death. And so we see that. And as we look at these verses, we have to look at what does it mean for us? What is God saying? He's saying, when we walk through trials, because there will be trials, when we become Christians, it's not a cakewalk. There's going to be trials and things that are required of us that might be difficult. But as we look at this, we know that just as Abraham had faith in our own lives, we can have faith in what God has said. And we can look back and see how God has led us through different situations in our lives and know that whatever he's calling us to, we can step out in faith and know that he will always be there and guiding us through this and giving us a provision to make it through those things that he's called us through. And he might be calling us to give up things like careers and homes and step out and go to places that we wouldn't imagine ourselves being at. And I was reminded of a while back we did in small group a Insanity of God. And I can never remember their names. Ripken. Him and his wife were called to be missionaries in Africa and remote parts of the world. And they had two sons, and yet they knew that it was not going to be easy for them to do this with a family. And yet they stepped out in faith. And a few years into it, one of their sons got sick while they were in the mission field and died because he couldn't get the medical attention he needed. And they were just devastated. They were asking God, why did we come out here and have this happen if we're doing what you've called us to do? And they found comfort in knowing that it was because of their faith and that their, with them stepping out in faith, they knew that their son was walking with the Lord, and that, you know, it was hard, and it was something that seemed devastating, but it was through that they knew that they were where God was calling them to be. And you look at the persecuted countries and the people that walk out their faith every day when they go out in the streets, and they know that God's calling them to share their faith, but they might not go home that night because of their faith. So we look at, and if you go to James 1, 2 through 4, it says, "My brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect effect, so that you will be perfect and complete, not deficient in anything." So here he's saying, you know, it's through that testing of your faith that produces that endurance that we can move on and walk. And it's that faith that we have in Christ that allows us to walk in those trials. And in 1 John 4, verse 9, it says, "But this love of God was manifested in us. God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him." And if you look at that, where he says his only begotten Son, if you look back in Hebrews, where it said that God called Abraham to give up his one only begotten Son, that only begotten Son is that means the promised one. And so we see how God in that situation was foreshadowing. And it's amazing how if you look throughout the Old Testament and you see God revealing himself and his ultimate plan of redemption through situations like this, where it seems horrible and you don't know how you could get through a situation like that, but you see God's plan working through that. Because just as Abraham had his son on that altar, in our sins, we're the ones on that altar. You know, we in our sins are dead. We have the wrath of God hanging over us. Just as Abraham was laying on that altar Isaac laying on the altar with Abraham standing over him, if we are not putting our faith in God, then we are dead in our sins with that wrath of God standing over us. But just as God provided Abraham that ram in the thorn bushes, so did God offer his only son up for us to be our sacrifice, to take our place. And if you look at Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says, "Therefore I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve what the will of God is, and what is good and well-pleasing and perfect." And if you look at it, you know, we're supposed to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Just as, and if you look at Isaac, when Abraham took him up there, he was a young man, and Abraham was up there in years. So there's no way that Abraham would have gotten Isaac on that altar if Isaac wasn't willing. So just as Isaac was willing to lay down his life, you know, we need to be willing to present our bodies as sacrifices, that we will be walking in the will of God and we will know what his purpose and his plan is for our lives. And so as we go through and walk out our faith daily, we need to be looking and seeing what is God asking us to get, that we need to, what is God asking that we need to sacrifice, that we will be walking in faithfulness to him. And as I was preparing, I came across a song that kind of really got me as I was reading through this and talking about faithfulness and giving ourselves up as sacrifices and knowing that Christ gave it all for us. And so we need to be willing to walk in obedience to him. And if you want to play that song real quick. Just like that song said, that, you know, help us in our faith to know that what he says is good and that he will never fail. And as we look at, you know, Abraham and what Tom talked about, and as he walked, he had faith in God, and sometimes he failed, but God never failed, and God never failed in his promise to him. And as we get ready to leave, just pray that God would strengthen you and surrender everything to him and strengthen our faithfulness to him. Lord, as we prepare to leave today, Lord, we just ask that you would strengthen our faith in you, Lord, that we would know, just as Abraham tested and saw what you said was good and true, Lord, that we would walk in complete surrender to you, Lord, that we would know that what you have, your promises are true, Lord, to us, Lord, that it's through your son's sacrifice that we can even come to you in faith, Lord. Lord, as we go from here, just continue to keep our eyes open to the things that you've called us to give up, the things that we hold on to so strongly, Lord. The things that you desire from us, Lord. I pray that you would strengthen us and encourage us, Lord.